Shalom to all. Today's office about Basadav Kuf Memo. We are starting by the third line with the word Pshita. And today's office sponsor, Lila Nishmas, Mars Merim Sar Basi Biakav Moshe, her Neshama should have an Aliyah. And we concluded the Gemara with a clarification of the Mishnah's din. If the father leaves over Nechasim Merubim enough for the sons and daughters to receive all their needs until they grow up, then the sons Yarshan everything and just pay for the daughter's needs. If, however, they're only Nechasim Muatim, then we first take out whatever the daughters need and the rest is given to the sons. Now, even though this technically seems like the same thing, it's not. When the sons receive Medin Yerusha, that cannot be taken away from them later on, even if something changes. However, if they only received midin v'ashar labanim, the leftover goes to the sons, which is again what happens only when there's nechasim muatim, then if something changes, they might lose out on what they just received. And that's what the Gemara discusses. Pshita, it's obvious, merubin v'nismatu. If when the father died, the nechasim were considered merubin, and then later on, because of the rising prices of food maybe, or because of the plummeting prices of property, it's now considered like nismatu. There's not enough for everyone to get. Kfar zalcho ben yarshin, the yarshin were already zoiche in their portion. It's considered yerusha, and we're not going to take anything away from them. However, muatim nisrabu mai. Let's say originally when the father died, it was considered like nechasim muatim. So in this case, before the sons get, we're going to take and put aside for the girls. But then it was nisrabu. Let's say the property went up in value. What's halacha in this case? Do we say b'rishus yarshim kaimi? Everything's considered to be in the rishus of the yarshim. Hilkach b'rishus yarshim shivuach. It's considered to have gone up in the rishus of the yarshim, and they get to receive much more. And the daughters only receive whatever they need for their parnasa, and the extras go to the sons as yerusha. I don't know, perhaps look at misalka yarshim echa. Maybe the yerushim were completely removed from here because when their father died, it was considered muatin, and therefore this is not considered Yerusha, and they don't get to receive extra. And so Gemara says, Tashma, we have a raya, do Amrav Asi, Amrav Yechanan, Yusayim Shekadmu Machum Nechasim Muatin. Let's say Yusayim preceded the division, and they sold Nechasim Muatin. They shouldn't have, but they did anyway. Masha Machur Machur, whatever they sold, and the Dars are not able to take that away from the Lekuchais, as we see very clearly from here that it's considered to be in the Rishus of the Yarshim. Therefore, if it was originally Nechasim Muatin and it went up in value, that gain goes to the Yarshim. Now continue discussing this. Yosef Rav Yirmiyah Kamid Rav Avoh. Rav Yirmiyah was sitting in front of Rav Avoh, Vekabai Mine, and he asked the following question of him. Does a person's almana cause a meter in the nechasim? Here we have a man who died and he left over banim ubanais and a wife as well. Now we know, as we've learned about previously, that the wife gets supported from the estate. And over here we have an interesting situation. Let's use our example from yesterday. That we need $1,000 for it to be considered nechasim rubin. And the father left over $1,000. However, the wife also needs to be supported. And if we count her into this cheshbon of money, so it would be considered nechasim muatin. If not, it would still be nechasim rubin and they just have to find a way to pay her. But if she is included, it would be nechasim muatin. And that's our question. Does the fact that they have to support the almana make it considered nechasim watim or not? Mi amrinan, do we say, kivan de'islam azayni, since she gets fed, mimata, now there's a miyat in the nechasim, and then we're going to separate money, not just for the daughters, but also for the almana, the boys are going to get the rest, and if they run out of money, they're going to have to go knocking on doors. I don't perhaps, kivan de'ilu minsaba, if the almana gets remarried, lesla, she doesn't get supported from the state anymore, because her new husband supports her, so ashtanami lesla, maybe now already it's considered like she's not getting supported from the estate itself, and therefore he means nechasim Reuben, the sons are going to inherit, and the sons are going to receive this midin Yerusha. The Gemara continues. Im tim tzolemer kivin de ilu mitzvah lesla hashtanami lesla. If you want to say that we go with this option, this means if the almana gets remarried, she wouldn't receive mizonis from the state, so now she doesn't get mizonis either. What about the following case? Bas ishtoi mashitim ben nechasim, the daughter of his wife, does she cause a midin nechasim? Here we're talking about where this guy who had just died, when he married this wife of his, who's the current almana, she brought a daughter in from a previous marriage, and this guy wrote over to this new wife of his that he's going to support her daughter for X amount of years. And when he died, this daughter of hers still has the rights to receive this support. And the question is, does this support of hers cause a mit of the nechasim? Mi amrinan, do we say, nami esla, that even if this daughter gets married, she's still going to be supported from her stepfather's estate, umamata, and therefore that's considered a mit of the estate. We're going to have to separate all the money for the daughters and this daughter of the mother from the previous marriage, and that means the sons would receive whatever's left over if there is. I don't perhaps, kim into ilu mesa, lesla, since if this daughter dies, she would not receive support anymore, v'loimamata, that would mean that she does not cause a meat in the nechasim. And v'im tem slimmer, if you want to say that kim de'ilu mesa, lesla, v'loy mata, since if she dies, she's not going to receive support from her stepfather, and therefore she doesn't cause a meat in the nechasim. What about the following? Bal chayv ma'ushim ben nechasim. A bal chayv, this guy owes somebody else money. Does that money, which is owed to this other person, cause a meat in the nechasim? Mi amrina, do we say, kim de'chi ma'is nami islay, since if this bal chayv dies, he still gets to collect because his yarshim could come to the yarshim of the fellow who owes him money, and they could still take that money. Therefore, it might, it would cause a meat in the nechasim. I don't perhaps kim de mechzri gavana, since it's lacking being collected, it wasn't physically collected yet. Lemimayit, this money that will eventually be collected but hasn't yet been collected is not considered like a mita nechasim. And then once again, it would be considered nechasim Reuben. Now the Gemara doesn't answer these questions, but tells us some ask these questions the exact opposite way. Does bal chayv cause a mita nechasim? Now we're gonna have to fill in some words that the Gemara doesn't actually say. If you're gonna tell me the bal chayv does cause a mita nechasim, because as we had just said, even if this bal chayv himself himself dies, his kids will be able to collect the chayiv. Kuf mem amav beis on top. Bas ishta mal shetim benechasim. What about his wife's daughter from a previous marriage? Does she cause him to the nechasim? And even if you want to say that she does cause him to the nechasim, because as we had explained before, even if she gets married, she still gets to collect the sustenance from her stepfather. Almanasim mal shetim benechasim. What about the person's almana herself? Does she get supported from her husband's estate? Is that considered a miyat in the nechasim? Another question to add on to this is almanasu ubas ezmehen kaidemes. Let's say there's only enough money to support one of them, his almana or his daughter. Which one of them comes first? Now, to remember that these questions were asked by Rav Yirmiyahu to Rav Avo. And in response to this, Amar Leir, Rav Avo told him, Zila inna, go today, v'talamachar, come back tomorrow. Also, when he came back the next day, Amar Leir, Rav Avo told him, Pshayit mi aschada, at least have an answer for one of your questions. Damar Baba Amar Basi, also almana itzal abas, kibas itzal achin, benchasim muatin. We treat an almana in regards to her daughter like we treat a daughter in regards to the brothers when there's nechasim muatin. Ma bas itzal achin, just like a daughter in regards to brothers when there's only nechasim muatin. Habas ni zaynes v'achin yishal apsachim, the daughter gets fed and the brothers, if there's no money left over, have to go knocking on doors. Af almana it's albas, so too an almana, the widow, in regards to a daughter, almana nizanis albas tishal psachim, the almana gets fed and the daughter have to go knocking on doors. Now we explain the last part of the Mishnah where it said Admai Noimer. Admai had commented Bishvil Shani Zachar if Sadi v'chulu, just because I'm a Zachar I lose out. Now the Gemara asks my Kamar, what's Admai saying? It's implied that Bishvil Shani Zachar if Sadati, that in some other area a Zachar has a strong kayach, and therefore he's saying, look, I'm a Zachar, I have a strong kayach in that area, so why should I lose out in this situation? And the question is, what's that other area that a zachar has a strong koyach in? So Amar Abaye explains, Hachi Kamar, this is what he's saying. Bishvil shani zachar v'roya ani lasek b'tayra hifsadeti, because I'm a zachar and I'm fitting to learn Torah, I should lose out and I should have to go knocking on doors while the daughters take all the money. However, Amar Rava, Rava asked Abaye, El Matzav, that's really so. Man asek b'tayra hu diyaris, de lasek b'tayra hu lo yaris. A guy who learns Torah, he gets to yarshin, and if he doesn't learn Torah, he doesn't yarshin. That's basically what you're trying to say, and that's obviously not true. El Amar Rava, rather Rava explains differently. Hachi Kamar, this is what Admon is saying. Bishvil shani zachar v'roya ani lirish b'nechasim merubim hifsadeti b'nechasim muatim, since I'm a zachar and when there's nechasim merubim I get to take everything and all I have to do is pay for their sustenance, so I'm going to lose out now when there's nechasim muatim and I don't receive like I would have received before. And because this time of Admon, as we had said, Rav Shimon Gamliel paskin like him, and therefore the sons will actually receive Yerusha even when there's nechasim muatim. And moving on to another Mishnah with another factor, hiniach banu banais v'tumtum. A father died and left over sons and daughters and a tumtum. Now we know that a tumtum is a person born with a piece of skin covering over their genitalia, and so it's undetermined what he is. Now we're going to see in the Gemara there's machlokes whether he's considered a suffic male, suffic female, or maybe he's considered a bere b'fnei atzmai. He's his own creation, if you will. As the Mishnah continues, bismach nechasim ruben, if there's a live nechasim, has charim daichanai say etzel nekevas, the charim can push this tumtum away to the nekevas, because they could say you're not a zachar and nechasim watin. If there's nechasim watin, hanekevas daichanai say etzel zacharim, the nekevas could push him away to the males, because they could say you're not necessarily a nekeva and therefore you don't get sustenance along with us. Moving on to another discussion, ha'aymer, a person says his wife is pregnant and he expresses the following: im teled ishti zachar, if my wife gives birth to a male, yitol mana, he gets a mana. Yal de zachar, if she gives birth to a male, yitol mana, so the kid gets a mana. Let's say the father said nekeva, if she has a nekeva, masayim, she gets 200. So yal de nekeva, if she gives birth to nekeva and it tells masayim, she gets 200. Let's say the future father expressed im zachar mana, im nekeva masayim, if she gives birth to a zachar, 100, a nekeva, 200, v'yal de zachar unekeva, and she had a zachar and nekeva, zachar no yitol mana, nekeva and it tells masayim. The zachar gets 100 and the nekeva gets 200. However, yal de tumtum, if she gives birth to a tumtum, in a noita doesn't get anything because he's not definitely a zachar or a nekeva. Now, im amar, if the father said, kol masha telud ishti yitol, whatever my wife gives birth to, shall receive money, hareza yitol, then the tumtum receives. The main shem yarish elohu, if when the father dies, the only yarish left over is this tumtum, so yarish is a kol, he yarishens everything. Now, the Gemara analyzes the first part of the Mishnah where we said that when there's nechasim merubin, the sons could push away the tumtum to the daughter. And we make an inference from there. Doichen oisai v'shakal kibas. It's mashma that they push him away to the daughters, and this tumtum at least receives, like a daughter, that he gets sustenance. He doesn't receive a proper portion of the Yerusha, but at least he'll get his food paid for. Ask the Gemara, hold him in a second. Hakatani Seifa, the Seifa of the Mishnah tells us, Yal the Tumtum, if she goes birth to a Tumtum, Einu Noitel, he doesn't get anything, which is masmer that he's not treated like a son or a daughter. And that's Seifa, the inference from the ratio of the Mishnah, that he's at least considered like a girl in regards to getting his food paid for. So Amar Abaye on this, Abaye answers, Doichanoisai Ve'einlai. When the ratio of the Mishnah says that the males push away the Tumtum to the females, that means they push him away, and he actually doesn't receive anything because the girls could push him away as well. Now, according to Abaye, it's pretty clear that this tumtum is considered a bere b'fnei atzmai. He's his own creation, and therefore he doesn't receive either like a male or like a female. However, Rava Amar Rava says, what does the Mishnah Resha mean? Daichanoisai v'yeshloi, that this charim push him away to the nekevais, and he does receive like a nekeva. And this is because Rava holds he's a suffig. And so Amanav Shach, if you're not going to say that he's a male, at least he's considered a female, and so he'd receive like the other nekevais. Now, v'seifa, how do we understand the seifa, which is mashma that he doesn't get anything? Asal Rav Shimon Gamliel, that's going like she's Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Tanya that tells us in Braisa, according to some of the Gersas, Ditnan, we have a Mishnah. Mishnah, and this actually has to do with a firstborn animal. We know that a Bechar is automatically Hekdesh. The person we're talking about over here has an animal which is about to give birth, and he wants to use his firstborn animal as a Karban. Let's say he had taken upon himself to bring Karban Ayla, so he wants to use it as an Ayla, and he doesn't want it to be a Bechar. As the Mishnah tells us, Yalda Tumtum Andragonus, if his animal gave birth to a Tumtum or Andragonus, Rav Shem Gamliel tells us, in Kedusha Chal Aleihen, Kedusha is not Chal on them whatsoever, because it's a Beri B'fnei Atzmai, it's not a Zachar or an Akeva, and therefore it's not Kaddish whatsoever. We have a brass that tells us, Tumtum Yarsh Kibem Nizun Kibas. A Tumtum Yarshin's like a son, and he gets Mizonis like a daughter. So Bishlam Le Rava, this is all good according to Rava, the Yarsh Kibem Menachasim Watin, he's going to get Yerusha like a son when there's Nachasim Watin, which basically puts him at a disadvantage, and Nizun Kibas, Menachasim Rubin, he gets fed like a daughter does when there's Nachasim Rubin, which also puts him at a disadvantage. Now this is fine, she's Rava, whom we had explained holds that a Tumtum is a Suffolk. Maybe he's a male, maybe he's a female, and therefore he's always at a disadvantage. Kofman Alpha on the top, El Abai, but according to Abai, my Nizun Kibas. What does it mean he gets fed like a daughter? This is according to Baye, he's a Beri B'fnei Atzmai, he's his own thing, he's not a Zachar or an Akeva, so why would he be getting fed like a daughter does? He shouldn't receive any sustenance. So Gemara answers this by saying, well, Tamech, according to you, L'Rava, my Yairish Keben. How does Rava explain the statement of the Braisa, Yairish Keben, that when there's a Chasim Watin, he gets Yerusha like a son? As we said in the first mission of this Perek, when there's a Chasim Watin, sons don't inherit. So what does that mean? He's Yairish Keben. El, rather, what does it mean? Roy Lirush Ve'ein Loi. He's fitting to Yarshin, but he doesn't get anything because there's a Chasim Watin. So to over here in Shita Zabai as well, we could explain Roy Lizoin Ve'ein Loi. He's fitting to get Mizoinis, but he doesn't actually receive anything because again, he's not considered like a boss either, so he walks away with nothing. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow, continue to discuss the Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.